My name is James, and boy, am I an alcoholic. Thank you so much for having me here tonight. I don't know the girl's name that asked me to share, but thanks for the opportunity to get up here and talk to you guys about the most important thing in my life, certainly Alcoholics Anonymous. What it was like, I was born here, grew up in South Tampa, raised in South Tampa, fifth generation South Tampa. I used to take a pillow with me when I went north of Kennedy when I was a kid because I thought I was leaving town. Mother's been sober in Alcoholics Anonymous for about 25 years. Father died of this disease in 1997. I have an uncle who's sober, another uncle who died sober. So written in the stars, and for years I did not want Alcoholics Anonymous to be the answer to my problem. Some people don't think it's a genetic disease. Personally, I do from personal experience. Maybe not every case is the same, but, from the word go, as soon as I discovered drugs and alcohol, it was what it was going to be my thing, and I was going to be the best at it. I never denied the fact that I was an alcoholic. I never had any illusions that it caused problems in my life. I was proud of who I was, and I romanticized it. I worshiped people like Jack Kerouac and William Burroughs and Hunter Thompson and things like that. I made it an intellectual thing. Even at like 14 years old, I had it all figured out, And I went to Catholic school till I was 14 years old and went to Plant and found out that you could skip school in public school. So I did, and I made it for about 3 weeks, got kicked out, moved to California to live with an aunt to get off drugs, which is kind of silly. And I discovered a very hard drug there. And started living on the streets when I was 15 years old. Went to high school for a couple days there, didn't stick around. I just started partying. Found other people that liked what I liked, that liked to get really messed up all the time, and that's all we cared about. I remember I went to a youth detox when I was 15 years old down here in Tampa, and it was a 3 to 5 day thing. And after 3 days, they came to me and they asked me what I wanted to do, and I said I wanted to stay an extra 2 days because I wanted to help. But I had found other kids that loved getting high as much as I did and getting drunk as much as I did, and that's what it was about. It was about the camaraderie and all the fun, and no thought for the future. I was going to be a famous filmmaker anyway. I didn't have to worry about that stuff, right? And I went to 6 high schools in 2 years before I finally could not go attend any more high schools in my district and was forced to take my GED at 16 years old, and started working and proceeded to learn all about all different kinds of fun activities. And it wasn't until, as of most people, I think, until my right before I turned 20, around that age, that alcohol really grabbed a hold of me. And it became more accessible, and I started looking old enough to drink in bars so I could. And it was an everyday thing. And everything in my life was about alcohol. As much as I can remember, any job I had was to support my habit and my lifestyle. All the people I knew. And again, I knew that I was predisposed to a disease. I knew. I grew up in the back of these meetings playing video games. I knew I could have recited the 12 steps to you when I was 10 years old, And I fought that, and I thought that I was better than it, smarter than it, whatever, and that I was just going to be, the rebel without a cause. And I remember when I was young, I used to romanticize what I was going to be when I got older, and then when I turned 30, I was a drunk. I was a 30-year-old drunk, I did the working thing, and then I moved to Georgia, and about 6 months into that, I ended up in prison for a drunken escapade that ended up with me fighting with a police officer, and I hurt him real bad, and he hurt me real bad, but he didn't have to go to jail for what he did to me. And I did a year. I did go up the road for a short spell, and for the longest time, I said, some people go to college, some people go to military, I went to prison. It was just retarded. I was just an idiot. I got too drunk and started a fight with a cop. And I was a 19-year-old or 18-year-old white kid in South Georgia with bleach blonde dreadlocks in prison. So, do the math. And it wasn't fun. I got beat up a lot. And I might have won one or two here or there. Anyway, got out of jail and never going to do that again. I mean, right back to drinking and drugging, but just not going to fight the cops anymore. I was back in Atlanta City Jail 4 months later. Ran from the police in downtown Atlanta with a large amount of many years in the trunk of my vehicle. And didn't get away. And somehow, magically, though, was ROR'd because that jail is so overpopulated, and my probation didn't find out about it. So I came back to Tampa. I ran back to Tampa, found a program, and I knew about HIPAA laws, and I knew the police couldn't chase me if I was in a program until I could get my money together and get a lawyer. And I actually managed to fix that situation over time, and I stayed clean and sober for about 8 or 9 months up there at the New Beginnings program. It was when it was first starting back in 2002. And, you know, and I did that, but I wasn't doing it. You know, I was doing it because I was hiding from the police, and there was nowhere to, you know, I didn't know anybody. I couldn't get drugs or alcohol. And I finished that and found my way back down to South Tampa, and all my old friends and all the fun times started back up. I moved into the Cove. I, man, it was, for up until recently, my 19th year of life was the best year of my life. And it really wasn't. It was terrible. I got kicked out of my apartment and lost one of my best friends. And then I met a girl and got married. Kind of joined her family. Her father was a beekeeper, a very prominent guy kind of in the community. And she was a great gal. And my family had always been kind of distant. And so I kind of gravitated towards this family and had some really good times and destroyed it. You know, I was never a really violent person. I didn't, you know, I'm not a philanderer. But I was just such, so broken that the woman could not stand to be around me anymore. You know, I couldn't get anything right. I couldn't hold jobs. You know, it was just a mess. And so she left, and I came back down here. And tried to get sober. You know, I tried to get sober. I remember years ago when I met the guy who's sponsoring me right now, a guy that I call every single day, by the way, and asked for him for advice, and just told him earlier today that I need to keep a little notebook to write things down, and then I want to ask him because he's a really insightful person. But I met him, and I remember when I was doing that, a friend of mine said, "You really think you can stay sober?" And I told him I have to. And 30 days later, I was drunk because having to stay sober never did it. I needed to want to get sober. I needed to want to live this life. Because I needed to get sober when I was 16 years old. You know, I was in the IRT up at the Notice Acid. 16, my life was destroyed. You know, I needed to drink. But I didn't want, or needed to stop drinking. I didn't want it. You know, to me, that's a really important factor in this program. That you have to want to be here, and you have to want to live a different life. Anyway, so just tried to get sober, bounced around a little bit. Lived in multiple states around the, you know, your typical transient lifestyle. I've had lots of really fun jobs. Worked on Hurricane Katrina for a bit, and basically just fueled a lot of pain from the desire. And you know, this may sound weird, but you know, alcohol and drugs, they kept me alive for a bit, long enough for me to realize what I needed to do. At that point in my life, I was a very, very sad person, and I drank to survive. Period. And I did that for about 5 years. Oh, that's nifty. A little time frame there. Wow, there's that much left? All right, pump the brakes. No, we'll get to what it's like now, and I can talk about that for 10 minutes. All right. So, I was in Savannah, Georgia. This is where I found myself. Had a good friend there. And if anybody knows that town, it is saturated in alcohol. I fit in perfectly. Somehow managed to be the town drunk in a town like Savannah, and that is an accomplishment. I mean, it was just a blind, drunken fest for about 5 years. Constant partying, constant drug use, constant immoral behavior. Always losing jobs. I have no idea how many jobs. I couldn't even count how many jobs I had in that time period, just ping-ponged around the town. And during that time period was introduced to withdrawals. Those are awesome. And those became a really big part of my life. I was physically addicted to alcohol for probably the last 2 years of my active alcoholism. It was, you know, I had to. I would shake if I didn't at first, and eventually it turned into, you know, throwing up blood every day and needing it before I put my pants on in the morning. And it wasn't a social thing anymore. You know, for me, it was always a social thing. Like I said, it was always about the camaraderie and the friendship and the jokes and forgetting about how screwed up my life really is. And hiding in that bottle and hiding behind that idea. And you know, I'd be lying if I said that there wasn't some good times, and I didn't make it look fun sometimes, I'm sure. You know, there was a lot of really crazy stuff happening. But none of it was real. And I didn't even realize that until recently, until I really started meeting people and talking to people and having real, honest conversations. We all know about the bar conversations and how real they feel at the time and how stupid we feel about them the next morning. I can't believe I was talking like that about my friend. Supposedly like best friends with this dude I met like 10 minutes ago. That was it. There wasn't really... There was a lot of spectacular things. I was always trying to make my life more special. I was always signing up for crazy jobs, dangerous jobs. And I'd get enough money from the job and blow it, ruin it somehow, one way or the other. Wouldn't show up, back up, or hurt myself or somebody else on the job. I did that on a welding job one time. That was awful. And alcohol just continued to be my saving grace through everything. It was always going to be there for me. You know, and even I knew what it was doing. I'd gotten to a point by the time I was about 25 years old that I was convinced that my life was destined to end that way, that my life was going to end like my father's was, and I was just going to make it look good while I was still around. I used to get to work, and I worked in a really fine establishment for a while, and I used to comb my hair really well and have a tie on, and I would literally have thrown up blood like 5 minutes before I showed up to this place. Serving, $60 meals and people telling me how nice I looked that day. I'm like, if you only fucking knew what is going on in my life right now. You know, a pint in my back pocket or in my boot. And still managed to think that, not that it wasn't going to be, that I was managing things or anything like that, but I just didn't care. I didn't care. I didn't think that there was a better life out there. I thought that everybody else was just fooling themselves. And then I came back down here. I was here for a little while. I made a fortune at 25, blew it. And then I inherited a fortune at 28, blew it. And like real fortunes. It was pretty amazing, actually. I even amazed myself with that second one. And I got back down here, broken, and tried to keep doing it. And tried working in bars and tried living with some old friends. And I was living in a house that is probably the most disgusting place I've ever been in. And I live on a farm now. It's pretty gross, and this house definitely trumped it. And one day I just kind of was like, I got out of the bathroom. I was shaking like a pooping dog. And I said, forget it. Sorry, I didn't use the other word. So I don't know what it was about that particular day. There really wasn't anything different. And I drove myself to my mother's house and sat in her backyard till she got home from work, chugging, some vodka so I wouldn't go into convulsions, and asked her to take me to detox in tears, And I'd been to detox. I've been in and out of institutions constantly. I mean, I'd been what I thought trying to fix this thing for years. So I knew where to go. I went to detox. And they sent me to another place, and then I ended up in a rehab. And this is back in November, and I didn't make it for too long, about 2 months, and I left and went out for a short period of time. Came back from that, it was about 2 weeks. I didn't draw a sober breath, and I went back to detox, and I actually had a seizure in their office, and then had to be medicated and all that stuff. And it was terrifying. And then I tried another halfway house and made it about 2 months again. And relapsed for about 24 hours. And 24 hours, I was standing in front of the mirror with a razor on my neck, just ready to swipe and just, deuce out like I had always planned. I was 31. It was time, let's do this. And the house guy that was there, just banging on the bathroom door for some weird reason. And, it just made it inconvenient for me. So I made a phone call. Didn't detox at the detox this time. This time, the guy that I was telling you about before, my ex-wife's father, runs a farm down in South Tampa. And most people that know me know this about me, that I live and work on this farm. It's become my little rehab. I live a very simple life now. And I focus everything on Alcoholics Anonymous. It is my center. It is what I wake up to in the morning. It's what I want to talk about all day. I imagine the people that work with me and live with me are really tired of hearing about it. Because I don't care if you're in it or not. It's important to me. And sometimes I'll try to help them relate to me. And sometimes I really just don't care. This thing is amazing, and I'm going to jibber-jabber about it as much as I can to keep it fresh in my mind. I go back. There's a place in over by the stadium called the ARC facility. Some of you probably know about it. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible place. And I got the opportunity to go back there last week. It's where I truly surrendered to God. I hit my knees in the shower, probably the nastiest shower in Tampa, and just begged him to take away my pain. Just begged him to take away my life, take away everything from me, and surrendered and gave in and realized that everyone had been right this whole time. This program that had been staring me in the face was how I was going to find that peace. And today, getting sober isn't about the career that I've always wanted, you know. It's not about the woman that I've always wanted. It's not about that life anymore. It's about the peace that I see in the people that I meet here. There's serenity, man, you know, and it's a trip. There's guys that I meet that, you know, stuff on the outside ain't really going that well, but you would not know that unless you, like, was looking at their bank account. They are the happiest people in the world because there's something about working. This is ancient wisdom I've discovered in this program. This is not a new thing. These principles that we're told to live by in this program is old stuff, man. And we've managed to format it and create this miracle to help people like us. And it is a disease. It's a rampant disease in society. I believe that's why the principles landed on this particular subject, because it's such a big problem in society. You know, and it gives you a better life. Quitting drinking is the very beginning. The rest is all about being a good person. I can just tell in the little few 4 months that I've put together through my personal efforts of presenting myself in a certain way to uphold these principles, at the end of the day, I go to sleep owing no apologies. You know, I don't hate myself anymore. You know, I once swallowed a Altoid can full of Xanax. There had to have been 40 in it. And sweat it out somehow. I don't know, I was in my bed for like 4 days because I pawned a friend's all of his belongings while he was at the beach, you know, and that was how my life was. I hated myself. I was constantly doing things, and I don't have that anymore because I follow principles every day, and it's that simple. You know, I like to intellectualize and make everything more complicated, and it's not. It's that simple. If I do what this book tells me to do when I wake up in the morning all the way until I go to bed, I'm going to be happy when I go to sleep. Chances are the people around me are going to be too, and it's just got to be that simple. And the beauty in that simplicity sometimes floors me. You know, I wake up, I go to bed at peace. There isn't words for what this thing's given me. My life has been a constant self-hate fest for 10 years. Easy. And I just don't have any reason to hate myself anymore. And that's just total freedom. I feel like the possibilities are endless now. I feel like this program has given me a chance to be an extraordinary person, live an extraordinary life, and work with other alcoholics. I made a comment to my sponsor recently. He's like, I was like, yeah, this talking to other alcoholics thing is kind of cool. It's part of the program. He's like, yeah, the program. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Helping other people, that'll work, you know, and just simple things like that. Give me the peace that I've been searching for. It's mind-boggling. And I look forward to being a part of this program and helping other alcoholics the rest of my life. Wherever the path, wherever God takes me or sends me, I know it's going to be attached to these rooms in one form or another. Even if I unfortunately do go back out, this is always going to be a part of me. And for that, I'm so thankful every day. And I'm thankful that you guys let me come up here and indulge in my self-centeredness for 15 minutes. Talk to you about myself, you know, have a good time. And thanks for my sobriety.